Hey, you want that to go?
It's takeout time. A look at some of the stories we're following this week. And we're first up, we've got Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, but also with us is our Takeaway Sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Todd, the president met with the...
Todd there? Todd.
Todd.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Right.
Hello. Sorry.
He's just not saying good morning.
With you guys.
President met with the entire Democratic caucus yesterday. He wasn't giving them a pep talk. He was impressing upon them the need for urgency and the need to get this health care bill passed. So are the Democrats going to deliver for President Obama?
Well, Celeste, most Democrats are falling in line behind this streamlined, pared-back health care bill that Democrats are trying to pass quickly here. But there is quite a bit of disappointment and displeasure. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of several senators. Disappointment and displeasure in the fact that there's no public option and no Medicare buy-in to speak of anymore, that Harry Reid can't be sure yet that he even has all of his liberals. I was waiting outside yesterday, outside of the east front of the Capitol. Senators went to the White House in these kind of white sort of mini school buses to go meet with the president, and they came back in a motorcade. So we waited to talk to them and caught liberal Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan as she got off the bus. Here's what she had to say.
How many holdouts do you think remain in the caucus?
Just a few.
Three? Does that mean three?
You know what? We're at this point where it is not to my benefit, not to our benefit for me to be doing this publicly.
Well, Todd, it sounds like one yes vote they can actually put in their column, surprisingly, is Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, Joe Lieberman is behind this bill, and there's plenty of anger at Joe Lieberman now.
Mr. Popularity.
You're kidding me. Anger at Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, I mean, you could have predicted it. You know, don't forget, he didn't even support Barack Obama in the presidential campaign. Some people might want to remember that. And now has really been instrumental in taking away what a lot of liberals thought were the best parts of this health care bill that some of them have been waiting their entire careers to pass.
Okay, they did take a vote, though, right? A vote?
They took a couple last night. They took four, actually.
Okay. Anything of substance?
Well, one of the votes that they take, there's a long-held desire in the Senate to allow Americans to import prescription drugs that they use from other industrialized countries. These are usually the exact same drugs made at the exact same factories for about half the price. So it makes sense that people would want to import those. There are senators on both sides of the aisle, Celeste, who've wanted to do this for a long time. It has broad bipartisan support. The amendment failed, and it failed because, of course, we've said before, the White House has an $80 billion deal with the drug companies
right.
on this health care bill. People didn't want to upset it, so they're trying to streamline this bill towards quick passage, and that means not voting for something they're even in favor of.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
So, Ibrahim, I was thinking about you last night, all right? And it wasn't because Kobe Bryant scored 42 points and the Lakers just a workmanlike victory over the Bulls, but that was a great performance. Did you see it?
I didn't see it, but knowing Kobe... it was his fifth 40-point game of the season. We're only a quarter of the way through the season. It's 101st 40-point game of his career. The Lakers are 19-4. They're scary.
And he had a broken finger.
That's frightening.
It's frightening.
What are you going to do 100%?
It's like beyond Tiger Woods. But we don't want to talk about Tiger Woods.
Not at all.
Because I was thinking about you when I heard that Oral Roberts died. Because growing up in the 60s and 70s, Oral Roberts University had an incredible basketball team that always had this very spiritual, on-the-court kind of feel to it. And I was thinking to myself, what was very special about Oral Roberts and sort of God is playing basketball at my university has become general in March Madness. Every
right.
year you see kind of like a prayer sense of college teams. What do you think of that?
I think that with a lot of teams and a lot of players, they bring God to the center of the court. And a lot of times you see a prayer service, like a prayer between opposing teams before and after games. And I think that's actually another way that people have sort of taken away the competitiveness and transferred it into like sort of like this togetherness on the court. That transcends actually the game
right.
and brings the people together as a larger family of basketball.
And Oral Roberts University made a couple of runs in the NCAA. They never made it to the Final Four as far as I can tell, but it's an interesting possible legacy with all this talk today about Oral Roberts' legacy as a televangelist on the court of basketball.
They're consistent in actually getting to the tournament.
Right.
You know, in 2006, they were unranked. They beat number three Kansas, which is huge. It seems like they have an interesting
yeah.
history with Kansas. They lost to them 93-90 in the 1974 Elite Eight. So at some point, you'll see an Oral Roberts banner hanging
yep.
up in Tulsa with an NCAA championship. And, you know, it will be long after the founder has passed.
Well, God plays hoops, according to Oral
indeed,
Roberts, wherever
indeed.
He is this morning. Thanks so much, Ibrahim.
Thank you.
Our last takeout comes from you. All this week we're talking about fine print, how the tiny words can have serious financial consequences. Think of it as bankruptcy by a thousand little fees. And we've been getting a lot of reaction on what's hidden and how people avoid them. John in Brooklyn emails, "For years I've been writing all my transactions on a spreadsheet. When I first started, I discovered I paid $90 in 1 month alone for my own bank for using other banks' ATMs. That's over $1,000 a year."
And here's a listener who is having real problems trying to take action against fine print.
My name is Elizabeth Granderson. I'm calling from Silent Springs, Arkansas. One of the weapons that we have as consumers is the ability to change banks when we don't have something working out in our favor. But because our bank and many other banks have been so encouraging on setting up things as automatic withdrawals, it's going to make it really difficult if we should have an issue with our bank and being able to leave if we have so many accounts and so many bills that are paid by automatic withdrawal.
Fine print annoys Diane from D.C. She emailed us, "I continue to use a credit union that I joined through a job I worked at years ago. I've done my banking with a credit union, so there's no charge when I use most other credit union ATMs."
And for just an interest of disclosure, John, me and our producer Leo, both big credit union fans because of the very thing that our listener pointed out.
Something fine print about our producer Leo and Celeste, our co-host.
One listener said we should fly to Europe because James in Baltimore says the law protects people in Europe against unfair terms. You don't have to read the fine print there. And before we go, we're going to leave fine print, but before we go, we got to talk about Joe Lieberman.
People are going to die. They're going to get sick, they're going to suffer, and they're going to die because of what Joe Lieberman did as a single-handed act of bravado, of hubris, whatever you want to call it.
If it makes you feel better, he says he's going to vote for it now. We're always open to your
take.
Is he
a Connecticut voter?
8778-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.